Well, thank you very much for the warm welcome, and it's our pleasure to be with you here in the Lord's house and to renew fellowship with many of you, to meet some people that we haven't met for a very long time. We're delighted to see Joy, and it's strange that I'm in Armagh tonight and her sister Gillian is in Cookstown. It's like we've met each other on the way. Well, actually, we didn't meet on the way because we were in Corrigarry this morning. So we were actually up at Purdy's today. But we want to thank you also as a family for your love and your generosity to us over the years, and for your prayers. And we really mean that. It's a sincere word of thanks from our hearts to you as a congregation here in Armagh. And I trust that you will continue to remember us in prayer. As our brother has said, we're going to be having a deputation meeting, so we'll not be talking about Kenya tonight, really. But we thank God for the great privilege and honor of serving him out there in the land of Kenya. We've been living there as a family for the last 6.5 years. And we thank God for how he has undertaken for us, and his promise is true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank God for that. There's a couple of verses of scripture I would like to turn your attention to as we give a word of testimony to God's amazing grace in this sinner's life. I turn you first of all to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. These are very solemn words, but as I thought about this meeting tonight and I prayed very much about it, that God would direct my heart to some verses of scripture, and I want to give God's word the priority at the outset. And I do hope you'll listen very carefully to what God says to us in his word. You know, at the end of the day, what a verbal testimony or profession of faith is worth? It's worth nothing at all if your life has not been changed. If all I have is just words to say to you, and my life has never been changed, it's all for nothing. It's empty talk. And that's something we ought to remember. And every one of us think about that. There must be fruit. There's no fruit, stony and thorny ground. It's just talk. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. 22 and 23, please listen carefully to the word of the Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those are solemn words spoken to people who professed, who claimed that Jesus was Lord. He was never Lord of their lives. There was no change in their lives. They still loved the world. They loved the things of the world. They had never died to self. They had never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority over them. They didn't really love the Lord Jesus. Because if we truly love him, then we will seek to obey him and live for his glory. Then please turn to Mark chapter 8, a couple of verses there. And I think it's very important that we understand what it really means to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, to trust him, to give our lives to him. It's not just some little light thing. Say a wee prayer and then just go about your life as normal. It's not like that. It's not salvation. Old things will pass away and all things will become new. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Verse 34. We'll read down to verse 38, which is the end of that chapter. And again, let's hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us in his word. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then please turn on over to Romans. Romans chapter 3. You know, I have a lot in common with every one of you here tonight. You mightn't think that, but I do. I have a lot in common. I was born in sin, just like every one of you. Conceived in iniquity. Absolutely deserving of God's wrath in hell forever because of my sin. We all have that in common. I hope you realize that tonight. We're all sinners. Yes, we have sinned, and sometimes we think about that as one sin comes to mind. You know the real problem? Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have never done anything but sin. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we have never done anything good. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Let's hear again the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And we'll read down to verse 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So we've all got that in common. We're all sinners. There's other verses there. Let's read three of them. I'd love to read so much more, but time won't allow it. But these are really precious verses to me. Romans 3, verse 21 and 22, and we'll read verse 23 as well because it's so well known. But listen carefully, verses 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. And that's what we need. That's what you need. That's what every one of us need. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our final verse, turn over. This is really my testimony now, this verse, in a nutshell. Galatians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul's testimony, and it's my testimony. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, if I was to summarize it, what a precious, precious verse of Scripture. I hope tonight as you sit in this meeting, this is your testimony. You can really say these words with the Apostle Paul. Galatians 2 verse 20. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross And you die, you end, and Christ begins, and he lives in us. Here's what Paul can say. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Think of those words. Does that not thrill your heart tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved in this minute, if you're really saved, those words ought to be so precious to our hearts. Son of God, love me. Give himself for me. Let's bow our heads now in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that we're gathered in your house this Lord's Day afternoon. Thank you for thy precious, precious word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for those gathered in this meeting tonight. And they can say with the Apostle Paul, we can say, the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Lord, we thank you for that day when you saved us. Thank you for that day when you reached down and lifted us out of the miry clay of sin and set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. You've established our going. You've put a new song in our mouths. And Lord, I pray that you will, Lord, honor that promise that you gave to me as a young man, that many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Get glory to thy great name tonight. Lord, we realize that we are weak, weak vessels of clay. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Bring to my heart and mind just exactly what you would have us to say. And if there are those in this meeting and they're still spiritually dead, still children of disobedience, still without God and having no hope in this world, Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's great name that you will grant to them the great gifts of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Open their hearts tonight. Lord, melt every one of our hearts, even in this meeting, in Calvary love. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Your brother, your minister didn't know this, but when this booking was made through Pastor Leckie, I didn't even know that it was booked for a testimony meeting until I got the sheet sent through to me in Kenya. And it was booked for tonight. And he didn't realize that it was my spiritual birthday just over a week ago. On the 26th of August, I was saved. God saved me as a young boy 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Imagine, it's my 40th birthday just over a week ago. And I was only 4.5 years old when the Lord saved me. And so it doesn't matter what age you are in this meeting tonight. If God the Holy Spirit opens your heart and mind to the truth that you're a sinner, you realize that you can do nothing, as our brother was saying. You can do nothing. You realize that. You know, you need to stand at Mount Sinai and realize we're guilty before God's law. We've broken his law. That's what we need to do. We need to stand there before we can come and stand at Mount Calvary. I'm very tempted to preach here. I have to be careful here. I'm here to give my testimony. But I was born near Lochry College, your minister went to. My mother and father, Hugh and Marion Davidson, they went to Dungannon Church initially before Cookstown started. And then they went to start the work there along with William Cuddy and a few others in Cookstown. And right from I was knee-high to a grasshopper, as they say in Northern Ireland. They wouldn't know what you were talking about. Well, I suppose they'd figure it out in Kenya. I was brought along to all the services. And my mom had been saved, but my dad only got saved a short time before I was born. And they took things very seriously. And they took time with me and my two younger brothers and sat us down, even in our home, and opened up the Word of God. And we were told very clearly that we were sinners, that we had broken God's law. We understood the law of God. We were taught all those things in Sunday school and Sunday services. We were taught how the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to lay down his life for sinners so that we could be saved. But one day at home, I was actually at home just playing at home. It's one of the earliest memories that I have. And I was just riding a little tricycle around the house. And I remember, you know, I've read a lot of verses. There are many things I understand now as a believer, as a child of God, but I didn't understand them then. I didn't understand them the day I got saved. But I understand them now. I understand now what really happened, what really took place. But I tell you what I did understand. I understood very clearly, because God, the Holy Spirit, opened my heart to this truth. I am a sinner. And no one could have talked me out of that. I just understood. I am guilty before God. And I absolutely deserve his wrath and judgment for my sin. I wonder, do you understand that in this meeting? Or is it all just a joke to you? Is it just a game? Is it just go to church on Sunday and then go about worldly, ungodly things and you love sin just as all the other ungodly people? But you'll come to church and dress up a wee bit, but there's no real change in your life. Or do you really hate sin? Do you really hate sin? I tell you, if you are truly saved, if you're truly a child of God, you will hate sin. And every time we stumble and every time we fall into that miry clay, we don't want to roll about it in the miry clay. We don't have the nature of a pig that goes back to the wallowing in the mire. No, we'll feel dirty. We cry to God to cleanse us afresh, forgive us. But God opened my heart to understand you're a sinner and you deserve to be punished for your sin. And I just remember going to my mum and talking with her and telling her, you know, I'm a sinner. I realize I deserve to go to hell for my sin. And I remember she just sat down and opened up the scriptures and started to show me from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ saves sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. As our brother said, the very first step, you need to understand you're a sinner. Because Jesus came to save sinners. And just as a little boy, knowing very little about the Word of God, really, or the doctrines of the Word of God, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Trusted him. Not in what I could do. It's all about what he has done for us. Simply gave my life to him. And you know, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God will witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And that's a very important thing. You know, as I've grown up, as we seek to serve the Lord, as you counsel children even in meetings, we have no right to tell anybody that they're saved. How dare we tell anybody they're saved? That is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't do that work in a sinner's heart when they've trusted Christ, if he doesn't tell them they're saved, how dare we tell them they're saved? Can we see the sinner's heart so we can point them to the Savior? We can tell them, and I can tell you tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you must repent. You must turn from your sin. I better be very quick here because time is running away. I went to primary school in Dunaki. It was a wee country school. I'm sure many of you can relate to that. Everything was very nice. There were godly teachers even there. and I had a nice time. All was well. We grew up in a home with no TV. We grew up in a godly home. Went to a school where things were nice. But I remember the first day I heard someone take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. I remember one day in the playground, someone took the Lord's name in vain. That was something I'd never heard before. And I remember having to get away by myself. I just felt so dirty. I just remember going into the corner of the playground and crying, Lord, forgive me for what I've heard. And you know, when I look back on those days, I pray God would give me such a tender conscience again. You know, we interact with this world so much that we become contaminated and hardened. And we need to cry to God to give us a greater hatred for sin and a greater love for Him. But went to secondary school. And let me say this, there's young people here. I was bullied at school. Remember one of the first days I was there, went to form class, and one boy came up to me and he said, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah, I am. I was happy he said that. I said, are you? And he says, no. But I just thought you were. And he went and told everybody else. And all of a sudden then I was being called names like Padre and Bible Thumper. And you mightn't be called those names now, I don't know. But I can tell you, as a young teenager at school, it's not easy. It's not easy being called those names, being bullied and pushed around. I remember coming one morning to form class, and they were all laughing and mocking Bible Thumper, and one boy cleared his throat and spat right in my face. Can you just imagine that? And I didn't believe that unless I was physically threatened, it would be right for me to fight or do anything like that. I thought that would dishonor the Lord and wouldn't be a good testimony. If only my pride is injured, then I should just take it. And so that was hard. And I remember young people that are here tonight, I remember going home. I can relate maybe to some things you're going through. But never be ashamed to take your stand for the Lord Jesus. And it'll draw you closer to Him. I can tell you, those were special times. And many a night I cried myself to sleep in bed. I never told my mother and father about it. Many a time I said, Lord, could I not just go home now to heaven? Would it not be better for me just to go home to heaven, away from all this? You know, that was selfish. That would have been selfish of me. Now, I never thought about suicide. I wasn't thinking about suicide, but I was just saying, Lord, could you not just take me home? I'd be happy to go home to heaven. But, you know, that, I really, as I thought about this testimony tonight and thinking about that, was selfish. You see, God has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives, and we need to surrender completely to His will and purpose for us. But you know what happened then? I went to Dungannon Tech, and as I went to Dungannon Tech, the devil said to me, he said, just settle down. Don't be flying your flag so high and everybody will be making fun of you again like they did at school in Cookstown. Just settle down. And again, a word of warning to you, wherever you go, whatever job you go to, whatever school you go to, wherever it is, do not settle down. Don't listen to the devil's lie. You get your flag up and you never be ashamed. Just tell them, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've given my life to Him. I love Him because He loved me and gave His life for me. And pray every day that God will help you just to witness for Him wherever you are. Let us not be ashamed in this evil, evil world. You know, at the Tech in Dungannon, I did settle down. I'm ashamed to tell you that. I did settle down. And I became cold at heart. And I was at church on Sundays. I was at the prayer meeting with my mum and dad on a Wednesday night. People would have thought, and maybe there's some of you here, and you're just like that. You're just clocking in a card. You're cold and far away from the Lord. But people looking on are saying, oh, well, they're at church and they go to the prayer meeting. You know, that means very little. Because the Lord sees your heart. Do you really love Him? But I was cold and backslidden. And that led me into things that I should never have done. But you know something? The book of Hebrews and the book of Proverbs tells us that the child whom the Father loves, He chastens. And if you're truly a child of God, He will not allow you. He will not allow you to continue like that. And I thank God He chastened me. If you can just go, if you can profess the Lord and just go live on in your sin, love sin, and go after the things of the world and never have any problem, any correction, or any chastisement, the Bible tells me you're a bastard. God's not your father. That's what the Bible says. If you are truly a child of God, He'll chasten you. And he'll bring you back to where you ought to be, because he's the one in control of our lives. And I thank God he brought me back to himself. And I tell you what a joy it was to be in the prayer meeting. My heart was nearly jumping out of my chest the first time I prayed out loud. I think you can all relate to that. And I tell you, it's still sometimes like that. We need to get the victory over the devil and just pray. You know what? The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I often thought about that. They must have saw the Savior pray. Not just so much what words to say and how to pray. Just pray. Teach us to actually pray. And may God teach us to pray and get to the place of prayer. One of the things I prayed for a lot was a wife. Because I had gone with a couple of girls and it wasn't glorifying to God, I can tell you, in that backslidden state. And when I came back to the Lord, I said, Lord, save me from all of that. You know, this recreational dating, going with one, going another, next week, all this, that's a Christian shouldn't be doing that. That's the way the world gets on. It's the way the Western world gets on, guided by television and all that's ungodly. That's not the way a believer should get on. You just pray, Lord, direct me to the person you would have me to go with and marry. If you're going with somebody, it should be with the intention that they could be your husband or wife. And if any time that becomes clear that they'll not end the relationship, that would be my advice. But I prayed very earnestly every day, Lord, direct me to the person you would have me to marry, if you would have me to have a wife. And I thank God in Armagh, in this very city, I met a sweet woman, the best wife I ever had. It's not too hard since she's the only wife I ever had. But there you are. I'm making a joke, but I shouldn't be joking, because I tell you what, Alma was an answer to my prayer. I thank God for her. Thank God for how he's led and guided, and he's given us four children, two boys and two girls. And as her brother said, one of the greatest blessings is household salvation. And I thank God that each one of our children have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we can see some evidence, we can see some fruit that encourages us that it's not just words. And I pray and I just commit them to the Lord, that God will take them and use them for his glory, wherever it would be. May God help each one of us as parents to pray that for our children above everything else. My time is gone, brother. Can I take five more minutes? Are you sure? Okay. Let me finish off. Maybe I was going to tell you about some things that happened in my work. Prayer groups, serving the Lord in Cookstown. You know, I used to pray, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, help me, Lord, to serve you. Help me to witness for you. And I remember one day Mr. Stewart in Cookstown came to me. He said, Rodney, would like you to be a Sunday school teacher. And I was glad. That was an answer to prayer. I'd been praying for something more to do for the Lord. And so we were glad to be doing that. Some years went by. Then we were asked to become Sunday school superintendent in Cookstown. And we're helping out in the youth work, the children's work, on the Friday night meetings. And then Jimmy Crooks, he's the clerk of session now. He was very much involved in the outreach and on the open airs. And we went with him, my brother, and another couple of people. And we'd meet in the car in the old town and pray together. Get out of the car and go down the street and seek to give out gospel tracts. I remember I brought this wee track. I didn't know whether I would show it to you or not. I wrote this track. And you know how, I'll just share this. The revival movement, Every Home Crusade, got this track through a man who visited Kenya. I had typed it up. Titus Nzoka had translated it into Kiswahili and Kikamba. And now the revival movement have printed these and sent them out to Kenya in their thousands. A wee track. And if you'd have told me 20 years ago that track that you've just written for outreach in Cookstown will end up in Kenya, never would have believed that. But you know, God has, his plans are a lot bigger than our plans. And we should just trust him. It asks a question on this track. Are you absolutely sure that you will not spend eternity in hell? That's a question I'm asking you right now as you sit in this church tonight. I'm not talking about going through a show of religion. I'm asking you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's not what you know. The Pharisees knew a lot of Scripture. I would say the Pharisees, if they were here, would know the Old Testament scriptures better than most of us. They knew a lot. but they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him. What does the Savior say in John 17? This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know the one who is life? Do you know him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Or are you still living in rebellion against God, shaking your fist at him and saying, no, I'll not live for you. I'll not serve you. I'll not do what you say. I want my way, my will. And I trust that in this meeting that God will bring every one of us to that place of surrender before him. You know, the good news is you can be absolutely sure that you will not spend eternity in hell. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And you know, if I was to give you advice tonight, those who are saved, this is my advice. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And hate sin with all your soul. And never let anybody tell you that you can take either too seriously. That's a bit of advice. Love the Savior with all your heart. Hate sin with all your soul. And never let anybody tell you you can be too serious about either of those two things. Finally, just in closing, how did we end up in Kenya? I can tell you this. I didn't wake up one morning in Cookstown and say, you know what, Alma, it would be a good idea if we pull the children out of school and I'll go and resign from my job in Atchison and Glover and we'll head out to live in eastern Kenya in the bush. It didn't happen like that. But what happened was this, over a period of time, it was actually after Mr. Stewart's retirement, there were various ministers coming along. And every time I was reading the Word of God for myself, it was like the Holy Spirit was just putting his finger upon me and saying, do I have all of you? Are you completely surrendered to my will? That was the question. And it was as if every minister came, as I sang those hymns, hold over my being, absolute sway, I was thinking to myself, am I singing lies? How dare I sing lies in the house of God? I need to be real. Is this true from my heart? I surrender all. How many times have you sang it? Have you really surrendered all? And the verse that came over and over to me, especially when I prayed, it was just coming like every time I prayed. Luke 6:46. Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And then in the prayer, as I would use the word Lord in prayer as we do, every time, am I Lord? Am I Lord? Will you really surrender and submit to everything? Go wherever I send? And so I started to realize God had something more for me to do for him. And so I prayed, Lord, help me to surrender. Help me to go wherever you send me. But I prayed, Lord, work in Alma's heart. Touch her heart. Because I can't go wherever you lead me without my wife going with me. And so I remember one night, Alma came home from the prayer meeting and she said, Rodney, we took turns because of the children. She said, Rodney, that service tonight, that was a message for you, but it was a message for me. It was Reverend Patterson. And she says, I just want you to know, if you have to leave your job, if we have to leave this home, if we have to go wherever God leads, I go with you. And I said, thank you, Lord. You've answered that prayer. And the very next week, Alan Dunlop was there doing a deputation meeting. I went along because I always look forward to going to the deputation meetings. I'd been out in Kenya in 2000 and I thought it would be another normal deputation meeting. But it wasn't a normal deputation meeting because he says, look, folks, I'm very sick. I'm not well. And I have been praying earnestly that God will put his hand upon a young man, a young family, and they'll leave everything and they'll be ready to surrender to the will of God and go and serve the Lord out in Kenya. And I can tell you that it was just as if God was saying to me, this is what I was bringing you to. This is the point I wanted you now to be ready to go. So was it all just talk? Every time you sang those hymns, was it real? Had you really surrendered? Do I really hold over your being absolute sway? And he repeated it 3 times in the meeting. And I remember going out the door and says, listen, I don't know whether you'd be interested in someone like me, but I believe God's speaking to me and calling me, if you'd be interested. And we prayed about that. And we went to his home a few weeks later, about a week later. And he just said to me, Lord, he said, Rodney, I've been praying for 3 things in a person that will go. I've been praying for 2 years. It's interesting. It was 2 years the Lord had been just putting his finger on me very much. He said, someone who has experience and managerial experience, because we have 36 staff, 35 staff to oversee that. And I was a senior manager in Atchison and Glover. I'd been trained for that. You know, I was thinking when he told me those 3 things, I says, well, maybe if I don't have them, maybe it's something else. Maybe this will be my escape here. Maybe it'll be the Whitfield instead and stay at home. He started telling me that one. Then he says the other one is someone who's got, we're a pioneer mission doing new buildings and you really have to oversee them and maybe even do wee drawings and oversee the construction. Someone who understands construction. I had studied architecture, did an OND in construction, built my own house. Was working in a company doing that. So that was another box. Then the final one, he says, obviously it's evangelistic mission work for the Lord among children. We want someone who has experience ministering to children. And that was exactly where all my experience was. There was the three. You couldn't have picked 3 things. I tell you something, the Lord just sealed that in my heart that night. And I believe with all my heart that God has called me to the work out in Kenya. And maybe he could call you. I hope you'll come to the deputation meeting. And I trust that God will bless his word tonight. And every one of us will surrender all to Jesus Christ. May God bless you and help you.